Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The rise in cases of the H7N9 bird flu in China seems to have slowed, but researchers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta are still developing a vaccine to fight the virus, which has killed at least 36 people and infected more than 130. And volunteers are now being recruited for clinical trials. Meanwhile, biologists at Northern Arizona University have pinpointed the source of one of the deadliest plagues of all time. Their discovery solves some ancient mysteries about the first pandemic and could also provide answers in the event of a bioterrorism threat. The results were published in the peer-reviewed scientific journal PLOS Pathogens, and reporter Laurel Morales has our report.
First, a brief history lesson. There were three pandemics associated with plague. The most recent began around 1850, and it's still killing people in some places today. The second one, going back in time, began in the 14th century and included an epidemic called the Black Death that wiped out about 20% of Europe's population. The oldest pandemic started in the 6th century, about 1500 years ago, and likely caused the fall of the early Roman Empire. We didn't know much about it until recently when Northern Arizona University biologist Dave Wagner got involved.
Yeah, so I started working on plague because we have it here in Northern Arizona in native ground squirrels.
About 5 years ago, he changed his focus from squirrels to humans. Wagner and some other scientists mapped out what they call the global family tree of plague to show how it spread around the world. At about the same time, some home builders developing a new subdivision in Munich dug up some ancient skeletons. By German law, they have to stop and let archaeologists inspect the remains.
But they found certain burials where it wasn't just a single individual, it was multiple individuals in the same grave. And traditionally, that's thought to be indicative of an infectious disease coming through and killing a large number of people.
The skeletons were about 1,500 years old, so the best way to find DNA was in their teeth. German scientists ground down the teeth, extracted the DNA, then Wagner and his colleagues isolated and studied the DNA.
Now, most of the DNA that's going to come out of that tooth is going to be human DNA. And so we're sort of looking for a needle in the haystack. We're looking for plague DNA inside all that human DNA.
And keep in mind that it's ancient DNA, so it's been degraded and fragmented over time. Biologist Don Birdsell was the one who first confirmed the teeth had the plague bacterium called Yersinia pestis. She couldn't wait to tell Wagner.
Oh, I did. I was extremely excited. It was very late at night, though, so Dave was asleep. But he got the email at 4 a.m. when he wakes up.
They then repeated the process several times in different labs to ensure the results were the same. The Arizona and German scientists confirmed the plague bacterium caused the first pandemic. Their discovery dispels many other theories. The team then took their study a step further, using molecular technology to develop a DNA fingerprint. This enabled them to locate the likely source of the first pandemic to China, where they found a similar strain. David Engelthaler is an epidemiologist who works at TGen.
Plague, perhaps like maybe no other disease, has changed the course of human history multiple times. So what these researchers found really advanced our understanding of the history of plague. It's also helped explain the human history as well. So it's fairly significant.
Now, you may be wondering why we don't see major pandemics today. Two reasons. Our hygiene has improved and we've cleaned up our cities. And Dave Wagner says antibiotics pretty much take care of the first sign of plague.
But in places where those things aren't as well established, for example, Madagascar and other places in Africa, there are still hundreds, if not thousands, of cases, human cases of plague every year.
Plague may not be an infectious disease that many people are concerned about today, but the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, has been very interested in these results. Wagner says if there was a bioterrorism event, the agency would want to detect it quickly and develop a DNA fingerprint to determine the source.
And so we see this as the ultimate validation of those approaches that we've developed for DHS, because if you can do this on a strain from 500 AD, then you should be able to do it on contemporary material that might be used in a bioterrorism event.
Wagner and his team's next step is to piece together the genome to try to learn what made the strain so deadly.
That's Laurel Morales in Flagstaff, Arizona. Her story comes to us from Fronteras, the Changing America Desk. That's a public radio collaboration in the Southwest that focuses on the border and changing demographics. Take a break. Be back in 30 seconds here and now.